Hello, and welcome back to the Language of God. My name is Stephen Dela Cruz, and I am the Friend of God. Today I continue with part 2, the 9 gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In this series, I will be briefly touching on the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11. These gifts, these abilities, come with supernatural power and authority. Let us begin. The 9 gifts of the Spirit. And here they are. First, there is the word of wisdom. Second, there is the word of knowledge. Third, there is the gift of faith. Fourth, there is the gift of healings. Fifth, there is the gift of miracles. Sixth, there is the gift of prophecy. Seven, there is the gift of discerning of spirits. Eight, there is the gift of speaking other languages. Nine, there is the gift of interpretation of other languages. The first gift that the apostle Paul addresses is the word of wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom here found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this wisdom that is spoken of here is a wisdom that is given by the Spirit of God. Now, there is teaching out there from other churches and ministers that teach that the word of wisdom here is just a natural wisdom that is given. Paul explains the difference between human wisdom and the word of wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. And my message, this is Paul speaking here, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Isn't that interesting? Paul himself is explaining, hey, The gifts, these 9 gifts that I've shared with you, these are not practical gifts. There are gifts that are given to us that are practical, that are natural gifts that come out of us. But these specific 9 gifts, Paul is clarifying and making sure that the church, the body, understands, wait a minute, these 9 gifts come from the Holy Spirit, directly from the Holy Spirit. And they are given by the Holy Spirit, and He is the one that chooses who will have them and will be able to use them. So these are spiritual gifts that Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul is explaining the difference between spiritual wisdom and natural wisdom here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and on. Now, verse 6. Yet, when I am among mature believers, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world, who are soon forgotten. Verse 7. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan that was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. Verse 8. But the rulers of this world have not understood it. If they had, they would have not have crucified our glorious Lord. Verse 9. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything to show us God's deep secrets. So what's powerful here is that Paul is clearly teaching the people and explaining to them that the gift of wisdom, or the word of wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God, is about God's deep secrets. It's not about man's understanding of wisdom. In fact, Paul said, hey, all the wisdom of this world is just going to pass away. So I want you to understand that the nine gifts spoken here are spiritual gifts. They're supernatural, and they are filled complete with the power of the Spirit of God. Now, this wisdom, the word of wisdom, doesn't come from a man or a woman, someone who has lived a long life that is filled with experience, nor does this wisdom come from reading, studying long hours. That's human wisdom. This wisdom, the word of wisdom found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is beyond what humans can grasp. In fact, Paul clearly states there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that it shows us God's deep secrets. So how could man's wisdom, a woman's wisdom, reveal the secrets of God, the deep secrets of God? They're human. They're not spiritual. But the Spirit of God is the one who reveals the deep secrets of God through the word of wisdom. In fact, this is important. It can only be given to those who have the Spirit of God and whom the Spirit of God chooses. So the word of wisdom is not something that you can gain over a lifetime or that you can read many books and say, hey, you know what? I think I understand God's deep secrets. No, it comes from the Spirit of God. Everyone who's listening, I want you to know I'm going to go into more detail as I create a premier access on my website. For those of you who would like to learn more and have more detail on these nine gifts, I'm going to do that on a portal that I'm going to create on my website called Premier Access. That will be coming soon. I'm working on that even as I'm releasing this series of the nine gifts. Now, let's continue. The purpose of the gifts is to encourage and be a witness to the unbelievers. That's right. You know, those spiritual gifts aren't just for the church, but they're for the unbelievers to see that when you lay hands on someone, they're healed. When you give a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, it's not something that is known to any human. It's a mystery that God has given you to give to that person, a word of prophecy, or maybe a miracle that God's going to use you to perform a miracle in the life of an unbeliever. Imagine that. So the purpose of the gifts, or I should say one of the purpose of the gifts, the nine gifts, is to encourage and to be a witness to the unbelievers. Not only that, but all the gifts, the nine gifts, and then I'm speaking specifically of the nine gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, have been given to us for the building up of the church body as a whole. So keep that in mind. Now let's continue. And I know that I'm not giving deep explanations of these gifts. As I shared with you earlier, I'm saving that for a portal that I'm going to create for Premier Access, where I can actually get into the teaching even deeper. And in those teachings, I will share with you how to use the gift, how to receive the gift, and how the gift actually works. And I think that's important because many Christians who do work in some of the gifts are kind of just stumbling and bumbling around trying to figure out how it works because no one has really showed them how to use that gift, what that gift really does or what it even feels like. And I attempt to share with you what that gift would feel like for you. And if you're interested in that, then once I open up that Premier Access portal, that'll be the place to go to really get some more information, more detail on each gift and how it's used. Now, moving on, the word of knowledge, the second gift that is spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, so the word of knowledge is the second gift given. Now, it's given because the Holy Spirit is the one who chooses whom will receive that gift of knowledge. But on the practical side, the natural side, knowledge is a gift also, but it's on the practical side. It's on the natural side. It is something that has to be sought after. You have to seek it. And you can find natural knowledge, practical knowledge in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 15. And this is how it reads. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. Because Jesus said in the book of Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7, and in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 9, he said, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open, ask and it shall be given. So this knowledge, this practical knowledge, this natural knowledge, we all have because we've studied, we've gone to school, we've gone to college, university, and so forth, gotten our degrees, we have jobs, some of us are married, have children, grandchildren, and so forth. And so we've acquired knowledge because we've sought it out and we've chased after it. And our experiences have given us that knowledge. So this is the practical side of gaining knowledge, that it comes with life. And this is what you must do to gain human knowledge. You have to seek it. You have to pursue it. You have to acquire it. It's part of the experience of being human. And that human knowledge is different than spiritual knowledge. All right, so that's the practical side. Now let's take a look at the spiritual side. So let's get back to the spiritual word of knowledge that's found in 1 Corinthians. Now, understand this. That wisdom, the word of wisdom that's there, and the word of knowledge, they work together. And I want you to, I'm just going to speak on this real quickly. I want you to understand this because one of the things is when you're operating in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I'm speaking of the nine gifts found in 1 Corinthians, you have to understand how those gifts flow. If you remember in my first podcast about the nine gifts, I spoke about how there's a process that is for the natural, for the practical, the definition for a practical existence. And it is the method. It is a method that works in everyday life. It's a method. And that's the part I want to, it's a method. And I want to get that, I want to bring that back up because I also said there that there is a method in the spiritual realm also. And if you learn that method, if you see how the Holy Spirit operates, if you learn God's language, God's culture, how God does what he does, why he does this and why he does that, why he says this and why he says that. If you learn God's language and let your language go, then you're going to begin to speak God's language and you're going to be moving to a different level. So understanding in the spiritual realm, there is a method, a language that works here. So I want to show you right now that the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and remember, they come from the Holy Spirit, they operate in a certain method, in a certain order. And I'm going to just share with you part of that order. And that is that the very first gift to operate is the gift of faith. If you're using the gift of prophecy, if you're using the gift of miracles or the gift of faith or the gift of languages, which is also called tongues, or the gift of interpretation of tongues or languages, then you need to understand that the very first gift that is activated is the gift of faith. And I'm not going to go into detail why here. As I said, I'm going to share that with you in the portal that I'm going to create. But the first gift that activates is the gift of faith. Then the next gift to activate is the gift of wisdom, then the gift of knowledge. And I go into detail in explaining how and why that happens in that order, so that it will help you as you're using the gifts yourself. You begin to understand God's language of, well, why is God doing it this way? Instead of trying to interpret God's language using your language, which it's going to be impossible. We're so small compared to God. Our language, no matter how intelligent you may be, will never come to that place. In fact, God even says, hey, am I a human that I think like you? Am I a human that I should change my mind? So God makes it clear to us that there's nobody that's equal. There's nobody that's his equal. There's nobody next to him. So if we're trying to interpret God's existence with our language, all of us, including myself, we're going to fail. So it comes to this. Let us learn God's language of why he does it this way and why he does it that way. So right now, as far as the gifts are concerned, the first gift to activate, no matter what you are being used in, whatever gifts you're being used in, faith, miracles, and so on, the first three to activate will be faith, wisdom, and knowledge. They will activate in that order. And as I said, I'll explain that in detail and give a better understanding, a better picture of why it happens that way and how you can start using your gifts in a more powerful way once you understand that. Okay, so now, when you see spiritual wisdom, there is always going to be spiritual knowledge activated, as I just shared with you. Where you see knowledge, spiritual knowledge, there is always going to be wisdom, spiritual wisdom, always, because these two interact with each other. One needs the other to work, and they both need each other. And I'll explain it this way to try to help you understand wisdom and knowledge. So this is a spiritual, I'm talking spiritual here, but I'm going to try to bring it back into a natural understanding. So think of it this way. The example that I'm using here is the function of breathing. Every time you inhale, you take in life-giving air. Every time you inhale, this air contains all kinds of gases, nitrogen, oxygen, argon, carbon dioxide, and so forth. Then you exhale to remove what was not used and not needed for the process of living. Now, during that inhale and exhale, there was a transfer of the oxygen that came in with the air to your blood. So there was a process that occurred that your body took what was needed out of that. Breathing requires inhaling and exhaling. You need both of them, and they're intertwined with one another. And each one has a different purpose. If you think about it, when you inhale, you're taking in air with all the different gases. And when you exhale, you're releasing everything that you didn't need. So breathing is, to me, is an example of how wisdom, spiritual wisdom and spiritual knowledge work. And this all happens, this breathing, this all happens in one breath. It happens quickly. In that one breath, so much is accomplished that we think of it as a simple breath, but we don't realize all the processes that occur during that one breath. In a similar way, in a like manner, or as an example, spiritual wisdom is represented by the inhale of the breath. And spiritual knowledge is represented by the exhale of the breath. Now, spiritual knowledge requires wisdom, and spiritual wisdom requires knowledge. In that moment where the two work as one, so much is accomplished in the natural. And now, in the spiritual realm, when wisdom and knowledge are working, it's happening so quick in the spiritual realm that we don't see it. We probably don't even feel them both activating and turning on, wisdom and knowledge, but they do, and it happens so quickly. And as I shared, I'm going to go into more detail once I create this Premier Access on my website. So it's going to be for those of you who would like to learn more of these nine gifts. Now I'm going to move on to the next gift that's listed here, and it's the third gift, and it's called the gift of faith. And by the way, I know that there are going to be people out there who say, hey, the word of knowledge doesn't say gift, and the word of wisdom doesn't say gift. I understand that. But to make things, as I'm teaching, to flow more smoothly, I am using the word gift. So I just want you to understand that's why I'm doing that. Now, let's move on to the gift of faith, which is the third gift that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, what is the difference between natural faith and the gift of faith given by the Spirit of God? Well, this is going to be, this is one of those gifts that has a lot of depth to it, because A lot of Christians and unbelievers don't understand that we all have faith. All of us have been given faith by God. If you're an atheist, you were given faith by God, whether you believe God, believe in a God or you don't. God doesn't exist because you believe in him or you don't. Trust me, God was around eons and eons before you were even birthed. And God will be around for eons and eons and eons after you die. So God is not reliant on what you think, feel, or believe. So God has set his creation, that includes you and me, in place, and he has given us all faith. Now that faith is called natural faith, a practical faith. We are all given this practical faith at birth by God, and God gives a different measure to each person. You can find this in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Now, Paul talks about this faith, and he makes it clear that we all have been given a measure of faith, all of us. It's a practical faith. It's a natural faith that comes with us all. And what's incredible about this is many people, especially those that are atheists, don't even realize that they are using faith. They believe that everything they do is based on facts and knowledge and understanding, not realizing, no, the majority of what you do is not based on facts, knowledge, and understanding. It's actually based on faith, practical faith. And that faith that was given to us at birth, all of us, some of us have a certain amount of faith, it's smaller. Others have a greater amount of faith. That's a natural faith. That's a practical faith. So some of us have a lot of faith in the practical to truly believe in the impossible that hasn't even been seen or created yet. And others are more like, I'll wait and see what you do. And what I'm talking about here is just natural faith, practical faith. So some people have an easier time believing in God because they've been given a greater faith, which makes it easier for them to believe in the unseen, the unknown, and others have an easier time not believing in God because they've also been given a greater faith not to believe. Now, I know exactly how that sounds, but that's what it comes down to. It takes faith to do both. It takes a lot of faith not to believe that no one created all this universe, this creation, that it just suddenly, poof, came out of nowhere. I know that those that don't believe in God and these scientists, you know, they make this claim that these exotic elements at the beginning of creation began to interact with one another, and this is how, you know, the universe and it came into existence, or different dimensions clashed into one another, exploding into this creation that we have today. But they never go past that. They never say where the exotic elements came from, because they can't. In fact, they don't even know what these elements were, so they label them exotic because they don't have a clue. They're just making it up as they go because they're using faith. Same thing with the dimensions. They don't have a clue if there's dimensions out there, or if they're moving, or if they're crashing into each other, or if they have the ability to interact with each other. They don't have a clue. But by faith, they call it theorizing, and they say, oh no, our theories are more than just that. You know, there's scientific. No, you don't have any scientific evidence. You can't recreate it in a lab. You can't prove it. None of it you can. And so they go about talking like they can, but ultimately it's all done by faith. This natural faith, this practical faith that has been given to all of us at birth by God. Now, each person, every one of those people, including us that believe in God, that are spiritual, you know, we're given this certain amount of faith. And what we do with it and how we use it, we are responsible for it. So those that say there is no God and when you die, that's it. Okay, fine. And those of us who believe there is a God, and when we die, we will be with him. As Paul said, hey, for me to live is Christ. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to share the love of God. For me to die is to be with him. So that's where our faith. Now, whether they believe in God or they don't believe in God, whether you believe in God or you don't believe in God, it's all still by faith, because no one can prove with facts and evidence, and you can't take your smartphone out and say, hey, I'm taking a picture of God or I'm recording a conversation. No, it's all by faith. And it was designed this way. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, there is a simple explanation given to us about what faith is. Now, faith is confidence in what is hoped for and the assurance about what we do not see. Now, in the practical, the natural definition of faith, it's simply put this way, okay? This is practical faith, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. That's natural faith. That's practical faith. So it's interesting how that practical faith and that spiritual faith, that gift of faith, sound pretty similar, because the practical faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something, okay? But spiritual faith takes it a bit further, and it says confidence in what we hope for. So we're hoping for something, and we have an assurance about what we do not see. So that's the spiritual side of that faith. Now, I'll give a little more detail on this faith before I close here. Now, as I shared with you these two different types of faith, I just want you to understand that there are more ways of explaining this. So it may appear that there's more than just these two types of faith, but the foundation of these two types of faith are, one is practical and one is spiritual, and they can diverge off. They can go off into different ways of revealing themselves in your life, from practical to spiritual and so on. Now, just as scripture has shown us in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, everyone has faith, even atheists. So I want you to remember that. So I say, let's do our best to live at peace. Now, remember, I have said that we are to live a balanced life. We are a natural creature and a spiritual creature existing in the same body, in the same moment in time. This natural faith we use every day, all of us. Few acknowledge that they have this faith. Others just don't understand that they have faith. Most likely, you have used this faith today and are using it right now. What does this natural, practical faith look like? In my job as a field service engineer, I've traveled to so many different countries and so many different hospitals, places I've never been before, and hotels that I've stayed at. And I got to tell you, some of these places I've stayed at were questionable. And it was just all by faith, natural, practical faith. One last example I want to use here about natural faith, practical faith. So here's this example. Here's another example. You get on a plane, which many of us have done, believing that the pilot and his crew are competent to take you to the desired destination. You believe your journey will be without any disturbances or problems. So you have to trust that this crew and this pilot, did their jobs properly before the plane ever left the ground, and that everything, now that you're in the air, will go without any problems. Notice how you had to use natural and practical faith there. You had to trust someone or something. And in this example, you had to trust this crew, these pilots, and you had to trust the machine, the plane that you're on. Without knowing, without having facts, you had to believe and trust. So that's natural, that's practical faith. And every day we put our natural, practical faith to use. Even atheists use faith when they say there is no God. They say that without any facts or proof. They make these statements. Then they want you to prove them wrong. They don't have any facts or any proof, but they want you to prove there are no facts and there are no proof wrong. They are using faith, whether they understand it or not. We all use faith every day. Now, the second type of faith is called saving faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. And here's how it reads. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Now, as you can see here from these verses, saving faith comes from hearing the word of God. As a person listens to the word of God, trust is built. They trust in who God says he is and what God says he has done. Without any physical evidence or facts, they believe in the words spoken. This act of believing is called faith and is what is called saving faith. Now, the gift of faith is much more powerful and vast. The spiritual ability of faith is given to you to complete, to perform great deeds, miracles, and so much more. It is powerful. It is given by the Holy Spirit, and it is a complete different type of faith. It has a completely different purpose than practical faith, than saving faith. This gift of faith is used for great deeds, for miracles, to complete the destiny that God has for you. But understand something. These gifts are not activated until you use it. The more you use these gifts, these abilities given to you, the more you understand how to use them and how they work. This is something nice to know. There is no return policy on any of the gifts or abilities given to you. They will remain with you all the days of your life, whether you use them or not. These abilities, these gifts, are only limited by your limitation, your understanding of God's language. They are yours, your gifts. They are given to you by the Holy Spirit. The question is, how far do you want to take them? Now, for those who would like to learn more about these 9 gifts, I just want to remind you, I will be creating a Premier Access portal on my website where you can join as a Premier member. There I will be able to go into more detail on the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for joining me. I hope this podcast has been a blessing in your life. Join me on my next podcast as I continue with part 3 of the 9 gifts. In this next podcast, I will continue briefly touching on each of the 9 gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it with one person this week. Encourage others to listen to the 9 gifts. If you have any comments, you can connect with me at Facebook or by email. You can find this information at my website, thelanguageofgod.net. When contacting me, please include the podcast title you are commenting on. Now, go and enjoy life. I encourage you to live, break free of the things holding you back, and live. Shake off the chains that hold you down. Rise up, dust yourself off, and get back into the race. If you thirst for life, come and drink from the river of life and live again. I invite you to drink from the river of life and live again. Have a great day, and remember, you are not alone.